Thank you, everyone. Hello. It's lovely to be here. So I'm Tim Abbott from Christian Youth Outreach. That's our crazy, funky logo. And I've been working in Colchester for quite a while doing this. It's been a while since I've been here, so it's lovely to be back. So thank you, Steve, for your invitation. I'll tell you a bit more about what we do, and we're going to think a little bit more about the passage that we had read to us, which wasn't about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday, but in fact there's a bit of a parallel going on here. Jesus, in the passage that we had read to us, is speaking to Pharisees and to the people, because there's always a mixture of people there, and just helping them to see that his purpose is rather different from the religious leaders. And in particular, the verse that we're thinking about. Oh, hello, there we go. So that's us. Myself, top left. And then Amy in the middle at the top. And then on the left, bottom is Bex, then Mim, and then Susan. And so we're the team for Christian Youth Outreach. But where I'm wanting to get to, I just want to check on this, is this. There we go. So this is from the verse that we had read to us. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's probably a verse that we're familiar with from the words of Jesus. But what's going on in this passage, in this event, when he's talking to people about wanting people to have life in the full, and what we see when Jesus is going into Jerusalem, actually it's like a clash of kingdoms. What's happening is a clash of kingdoms. The kingdom of God, represented by Jesus, is kind of counterculture. It's coming against what's going on in the world of the people there. So Jesus coming into Jerusalem is an incredibly provocative act, actually, to come into Jerusalem in that way, to have all the people shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, it's the King of Kings, this is Hosanna." That's defiance to the institutions, to the Roman institutions of the time. And yet, the people love Jesus. Of course, we know that in 7 days' time, it'll change completely. But for now, they recognize who he is. And that kind of confronts the culture of the people that he's living in. But when Jesus says to the people in John 10, when he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He's saying that there's this clash of kingdoms again. I've come to make sure that people have life in all full. Not all the other stuff that goes on. Jesus is contrasting the full life of the kingdom and the damaged, restricted, broken life that so many people experience. And that's what we are as church, isn't it? We're a demonstration of the kingdom. When we're church at our best, we're a demonstration of the kingdom in a culture that is damaged. The world is sinful. Sin has taken hold. People do good things as well as bad things, but we come to proclaim the kingdom of God and to show that that's different. And one of the things that Jesus did was he showed that that's different. Life in all its fullness, when Jesus talks about life in all its fullness, he's not just talking about a one-time decision to follow Jesus, to follow him. He's talking about all of life. He's not talking about faith in all its fullness or belief in all its fullness. But fullness of life isn't just a spiritual event. Actually, it's all of life. It's about our relationship with God. It's about our relationship with friends and with the world around us. It's our relationship with our enemies. And it's our relationship with ourselves. That's fullness of life. And we see that in the ministry of Jesus. So just a few stories that we might be familiar with from the life of Jesus. The woman that was suffering from bleeding for 12 years in the crowd, she was ostracized from society. That meant that she couldn't go into the temple, she couldn't go to worship, she couldn't go to the synagogue. She was a bit of an outcast because she wasn't religiously, she wasn't allowed into any of these places. What does she need? She needs Jesus' healing. That's fullness of life. That restores to her fullness of life. When Zacchaeus is hiding up a tree, a story that we love to tell from Sunday school onwards, isn't it? So when we talk the story about Zacchaeus up the tree, He wanted to see Jesus. But the problem is, his life wasn't, he didn't have fullness of life because his life was governed by a corrupt political system that he'd signed up to and become part of, being a tax collector, a dishonest one at that. But he still wanted to see Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, I'm going to come to your house. He doesn't just say, Zacchaeus, you're forgiven. He enters into Zacchaeus' life so that Zacchaeus can enter into fullness of life. That's what he needed. And in meeting with Jesus, suddenly he confronts, Zacchaeus himself confronts his own corrupt nature and changes and is transformed. And then another story, Jesus comes across a man called Legion, because he's been so affected by demonic spirits that his life has been completely oppressed. And the interesting thing there is that Jesus sets him free from those, and that enables him to have fullness of life. But the man, he wants to follow Jesus, but Jesus says, no, you stay where you are, and you know, go back into the society that you came from, the company of people that you came from, tell them what I've done. His life's been transformed. He has fullness of life again because Jesus has changed it. So we see Jesus transforming lives in all sorts of different ways. And I think if we were to look at young people today, it's not difficult to see there's a whole range of things that limit their ability to experience life in all its fullness. Some quotes from some of the young people that we've worked with. So this was from the Sixth Form College. And this was told to me by one of our team who works there. She says, Ellie, since her parents split up, she says there's been a void, an awkwardness, and a hurt-fueled resentment that's been bottled up and left to stagnate between her family members. She shared that miscommunications around living arrangements and broken promises have left her feeling unwanted and unloved. So that's the reality of a young person that one of our team met in the Sixth Form College. One of the activities I'll tell you a bit more about in a minute, we invite young people to write down what they're sorry for, what their prayers are for. And so young people in schools, in secondary schools, have said these things. I pray for my mum to know I don't hate her. I pray for my family to understand who I am and to respect this. I'm sorry for saying I hate you and saying I wish I was an only child. These are real quotes from real young people that we've met with or interacted with in school. And they're just kind of a symptom, if you like, of the unfullness of life, the emptiness of life, the damage around that young people carry with them. So that there's a struggling family, this struggle, what you might call, I don't know, kind of on screen really, but there's a world out there that you can't touch but that can affect you, the world of social media, of Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and all of these things. Maybe some of you are into some of those things. And it presents a kind of false reality. It's like a bait that says this: you can have this, but actually you can't. You never quite get it. One young person said this: I feel vulnerable when other people online find me in real life. Again, that's from somebody in the Sixth Form. So that's a real young person that we've come across, and that was their real fear, was that they feel really vulnerable and awkward when people that they know online actually finally meet them face to face in real life. There's this awful difference between how we often present ourselves if we're on an online world and how we really are for real. We present, it's been called the Instagram effect. If you're interested. It's the idea that people show the best side of their lives, the glossy side of their life, the good things that are going on, but they present a kind of false persona. Someone else said this: sorry for not being happy enough with myself, you, and life. There's this this presentation of life that we read online, expectations that young people feel they have to match up to, that they can't ever manage. And in school, some of the pressures that young people face there are kind of passed down through the system that, I don't know if you have any teachers here, if you know a teacher, you'll know they've got 2 weeks of freedom for now. But teachers are under enormous pressure, and we have tremendous, not sympathy for teachers, but we want to support teachers in what they're doing. If you know a teacher, pray for them, support them, let them know they're loved. Teaching is under incredible pressure at the moment, and it's this pressure, this expectation to produce young people that get 5 A's at GCSE. And it's almost like the whole agenda is driven by this academic expectation. Now, that's not necessarily a wrong thing, but when that's the only thing, then that's not life in all its fullness. We don't see life in all its fullness in school. We see a little portion of life that might be quite good for some, but it's going to be difficult for others, and there's a whole lot of other stuff that gets missing. One young person said this: I need to be successful in school and life to achieve everything I've dreamed of, to find love. Please. That was a prayer that was posted in an activity that we do. I need to be successful in school and life to achieve everything I've dreamed of. That's a huge pressure, isn't it? We were, one of our team working in the sixth form college a little while ago, just picked up that lots of the young people there were really quite concerned about getting a mortgage and a pension. They hadn't even got their A-levels yet. You're thinking, well, hang on a minute. Surely, so A-levels first, and perhaps to live a little bit, you know. But they were worried about whether they were going to be able to afford a mortgage and whether they'd have a pension. Is that life in all its fullness for somebody who's 16, 17? I don't think so. If we pause for a moment, maybe think of a young person that you know of, might be one of your children, grandchildren, or somebody you're aware of. If we were praying one thing for them, what would we want to pray? What would be the best thing we could pray for them? I'm pretty certain it's not a good degree or lots of A-levels. One of my sons has got lots of GCSEs and a very good IB, but is still looking for work. One of them's got 1C at GCSE and is living his dream. And interesting, isn't it? It's not all about the qualifications. There's so much more to life than that, and particularly for young people. So I think when Jesus said, I've come that may have life and have it to the full, does that not resonate with what we hope for young people? And it's probably what resonates with them as well, if only they could get over the scary stuff about exams and things. So how is CYO kind of addressing that? Well, one of the things that we do run several projects. I'll tell you quickly about each of them. One of them is called Sanctum. Sanctum is like a prayer space that we set up in schools. We work in secondary schools, and some of the prayers and things I've been quoting have come from this activity. So that's kind of a picture of it. And there's a whole range of different activities for young people to do that help them to, at a basic level, reflect on life, on different things in life. But for some of them, some of the activities are quite prayerful, and we use it as a way of saying to young people, explore these activities and see what it teaches you about prayer. So they learn about prayer by doing some of these activities. In the foreground, we've got an activity that is about character and about what the good positive character traits. We get young people to... There's 20 positive character traits in there. Basically, it's the fruits of the Spirit and a few other great things as well. And we ask young people to think about which are the ones that are most true of their friends. They love it. It gives young people an opportunity to say something encouraging to one another. Over on the right, you can just see some paper chains. That's about justice. We were talking about water this morning. Think about water. Did you know that every minute a child dies because of unclean water? At the world at the moment, every minute a child dies because of unclean water. 750 million people don't have access to clean water. Big issue, isn't it? So we ensure that there's an activity in the space that is to do with human rights and justice, and there's the issues that God cares about, that people care about too. So there's a paper chains activity there. You can see the pink post-it notes on the table. That's about thankful. What are you thankful for? There's another one to the right of it. You can just see some bits of cardboard on a table, torn up cardboard. That's about big questions. If God did exist, what would you ask? My goodness, we get some very profound questions. Some very personal questions. Why did my granddad die? Some very profound questions. God, are you really there? Can you answer my prayers? And there's others around as well. You can see a notice board right in the back. Can I point to this?
Right, it's kind of in the middle towards the back.
It's a pointer.
Oh, is there? Oh, how do we do that? There we go, that one. There. That's the one. That's an activity called Prophets. You say, what do you think God might want to say to your school or to our town? Some of the things young people write is amazing. And what we're doing through that is we're kind of suggesting to them, do you know what, actually, God is a God who speaks, and he speaks through us. Maybe he could speak through you. Isn't that amazing? Some of the things they say, brilliant. We've got a prayer wall, which you can't quite see because of the light, but we use post-it notes on the window. So they write their prayer on a post-it note and stick it on the window. And it gradually builds up as the week goes on. All these prayers of these young people. Very, very honest. So there's another activity, I don't think you quite see that, about sorry, what you're sorry for. And some of the things that young people write are brutally honest, very, very honest. I've already quoted some of them, isn't it? I'm sorry for saying I hate you and saying I wish I was an only child. That's something that a young person wrote on a card and pinned up for, anonymously, but for other people to see. Typical of many of the cries of young people. So Sanctum gives young people a space to express some of what's on their heart and to engage in prayer through the prayer wall and through some other prayerful activities. And just has an amazing impact. So, what have we got? Oh, there we are. That's the sorry activity. There we go. I'm sorry for using bad language. I can't read all of these. So, there's the sorries. And there's the prayer wall. All those prayers from young people. Isn't that amazing that we can take that into secondary schools? We've been doing that since 2008. We've done about 30 of them in secondary schools all around Colchester. And schools love it. We've had Ofsted in, the inspection people. They came into it twice. You can't plan these things. They just turn up. And it just so happened that they turned up twice when we had Sanctum running in a school. And they said it was outstanding, which is very nice of them. But that helps us to be sure that what we're offering schools is absolutely what schools need and want. And the feedback we get from staff is fantastic. Isn't that wonderful that we can take such an obviously spiritual activity into school and if they want us back as well? That's because I think what it offers is what schools want. Schools want spiritual life. In fact, they're required to demonstrate spiritual life. That's why the Ofsted people were happy. Schools have to show that that students are developing spiritually, morally, socially and culturally. Do you notice spiritually? So schools need resources that help them to enable their students to develop spiritually, and we're able to do that, isn't it? That's something the church can offer. We get what spiritual means because we know what spiritual life is like. We know what life to the full is like, and therefore we can think in ways that help schools and bring stuff in that helps them. Here are some of the things that some of the young people said. I'll see if this works. Here we go. It made me feel like praying is worth it, even if I'm not religious. Isn't that amazing? So somebody who doesn't think of themselves as religious, they've suddenly kind of begun to get what prayer is all about. Yes, instead of thinking of prayer as a message, I think of it now as like a personality. Is that deep? I when I read that one, I was like, that's amazing. So this young person has, they've stopped thinking about prayer as just like communication, talking to, it's actually like a person. God is a person, you know, Jesus is a person that we relate to in prayer. I think that young person has just begun to get that. It showed how relaxing and emotional praying is. It shows how people feel when they are praying. I might consider praying more. That's good. I like that. Finally, I'm now truly confident I'm a Christian and there is a God. And one of the things that this does, so that young person would probably have identified themselves as a Christian before they came into Sanctum. But the good thing about it is for young people that have a faith, young people that are Christians, doing something like this affirms their faith in school. It says, this is okay. You know, it's all right to be a Christian. Actually, it's more than all right, isn't it? We know that. But it puts that into a space in the school that's for everyone. And Christian young people love having this thing happen because it puts faith absolutely squarely on the map in school. It's not just about the Christian group they might go to at lunchtime, if there is one. This is for the whole school. That's Sanctum. That's one of the things that we do. Another things that we do that help young people is a thing called Beloved, which is a self-esteem course for girls. some of the quotes I quoted earlier, you'll recognise some of the kind of desperate insecurity that many girls have, particularly about image. And so Beloved is 6 weeks, a six-week course that we run in school, and it's for girls in year 9, very specifically, so those that are 13 going on 14. And it's run by my colleague Amy, and this course has been running for quite a few years as well, and this is so valuable to schools that they will take students out of a lesson for an hour to do this. We don't do this after school or lunchtime. This happens during lesson time. And during Beloved, Beloved is 6 weeks, and it gives girls a chance to think about themselves and their value. If it's got a subtitle, it's You Are Valued. And it's rooted in the idea from Psalm 139 that you are amazingly and wonderfully made. You know, we believe that God makes everyone amazing and wonderful. And we want girls to understand that, to get that. So although it's not an overtly Christian course, it's amazing how many of them ask Amy and the other people running it about their faith. That just comes up naturally as part of it, as part of the values of the course. Here are a few of the things that some of the girls said about it. I feel like I've lifted some weight off my shoulders. Thank you so much. I learnt not to compare myself to other people. That's a really important thing, isn't it? The main thing I learnt was how to be myself. It made me feel that it doesn't matter what you look like, you're special no matter what. Staff have said that they have noticed girls that have done this course in year 9, it has changed them, it has transformed them. Their confidence has improved, their relationship with their friends has improved, their work's improved. That's life in all its fullness, isn't it? You know, it's great if their work's improved, but the reason for that wasn't that they were being driven to get more grades. It was because somebody took some time to affirm that they are valuable in themselves. And just that 6 weeks of being affirmed and valued has helped them to get a bigger picture of who they are, and that enables them to do better in school. That's not the only reason we do it, obviously. We want them to feel affirmed just and valued just for that in itself. But isn't it amazing that it has that spin-off effect? That's life in all its fullness starting to happen in the life of school. So one of the main things that we now do is chaplaincy. And I'm amazed that we're able to do this in school, not because it's wrong or naughty or something like that, but just because it just seems to fit. It works for schools, and it's a great way of supporting schools. So we've got Amy at St. Helena School. We've got Bex in Stanway School, and we've got Mim in the Sixth Form College. That's the three areas at the moment where we're doing chaplaincy. And each of those people is called the chaplain by the school or college they're working in. They're recognised as a chaplain. Mim's even got a chaplain email address at the Sixth Form College. Amy's got a big notice board that says chaplain, and Bex, you know, they all wear staff badges that say chaplain on them. They're recognised as chaplain in the school. And their role is spiritual development, so helping to have things like Sanctum or Beloved happen in the school and other things. Pastoral support, so being there for young people. So each of these people will take have some of the time of their day will be when young people can come and speak to them about things that are bothering them. Just 20 minutes, but they can meet each week for as long as they need to. And that, again, has been transformative for young people. We've had staff saying that we thought we were going to lose that young person. We thought they were going to leave. They thought they were going to drop out. That has changed them. And the things that they're able to do in school, Amy, top left, working in St. Helena School, has been able to pray with staff as part of being there. That's something we've never been able to do before. She's had staff coming up to her asking for prayer, for healing, for things. We had one member of staff that was healed there and then in the pastoral office with a few of the other staff around. Amy said, you're the chaplain, you must have healing hands, kind of in a slightly jokey way, as you might do. And she said, well, I could pray for it if you like. And the member of staff said, yes, please, I'd like that. So she prayed for it, prayed for an ankle that had been injured. And it was healed there and then. In the staff room, which is amazing. And since then, staff have asked her for prayer for all sorts of things. Isn't that wonderful? In Stanway School, Bex has recently been able to set up a permanent prayer space. So in the library where we run at Sanctum, we saw some of the photos of Sanctum. That was in the library in Stanway School. And there's now a prayer space which looks, well, a bit like that. It's not... You know, it's all right, isn't it? But the great thing about this is, so this was requested by the library manager, and working with Bex, we wrote a policy for the school about how it will work, because it has to be inclusive. We can't do this just for Christians, and we wouldn't want to either, you know, because actually, if there's a space where people can gather to pray or to reflect or to think about things, that's a good thing. And young people want that. We know that young people want that. So we've been able to provide this space, and then the library manager bid for some money that was available in the school, and we heard this week that the student council, so students who get this is a small sum of money, you know, only a few thousand pounds for the whole school, but the student council get to vote on what they think are the projects that should have the money, and the library manager put in a bid for some special furniture. So this is just a kind of cobbled together version at the moment, but she put in for some special furniture for this prayer space. And the student council voted for all the whole allocation of money that she'd asked for. So the students are behind this. That's what they want as well. So, of course, we're quite excited about that. So this is something I wouldn't have imagined would be possible, and yet it's what schools want. It's what students want. The leadership of the school, right up to the head, are fully behind this. Something is changing in the world of education. You know, I think people are hungering for life in all its fullness, and when Christians engage sensitively and appropriately, and that's important, with schools and with people working in schools and with young people, they kind of get what we're about and they see what we have to offer, and we can support and serve them in Jesus' name and help them to have fullness of life. Here's another little fullness of life thing that we do. So this is Mim in the Sixth Form College. So she's chaplain in the Sixth Form College, and she's recently started doing Sanctum in a Suitcase. So I described Sanctum to you, this prayer space thing that we set up. We do that in the Sixth Form College as well, in the concourse, right in the public middle of... Anybody know the Sixth Form College? Like right in the middle of the college, in a public space, hundreds of people walking past at break time and lunchtime and all that. And we set up Sanctum there as a prayer space in right in the middle of the college. But of course, that only reaches a few people because there's 3,000 people in the college. And so Mim has condensed one of the activities we might do in Sanctum into a suitcase. There it is. That's the character activity I described. And she takes it round with her. And so she'll sit down with a group of students and say, do you like to talk about this for a minute? And they go, oh, yeah, what's that? And then she's into a conversation. Mim has had so many conversations around the corridors of the Sixth Form College, sitting, chatting with students, hearing their hurts, their joys, and sometimes being able to pray for them. And it's through being good news in those places that people ask us to pray for them or want to know more about Jesus. So that's just a little bit about what we're doing to try and bring life in all its fullness. I'm just going to mention a couple of other things. One is the Remembrance Project. One of the big, big, big issues that we've discovered in schools, the elephant in the room, as it were, is bereavement and loss. Lots and lots and lots of young people have lost friends, relatives, and they don't know who to talk to about it. And so every year we do a thing called the Remembrance Project that is in school for a week and allows young people and staff to remember and to celebrate the lives of people they've loved and lost. And so we've got on the top, that's in Stanway School, that's a big banner and people write onto fabric flowers and pin them onto it. Bottom left is the Sixth Form College on the concourse with ribbons tied into a kind of netting that we have there. And it gradually builds up over the week, so it becomes something of beauty as a celebration. And then on the right, similar thing, that's in St Helena School in one of the pastoral rooms. And in fact, in St Helena, the staff have said, can we keep it? So we now keep it up for the whole year. It goes up in November, stays the whole year. And if students or staff have experienced bereavement, they'll often, at another time of the year, they'll often go and remember someone there. It becomes a tangible place of remembrance in the life of the school. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I don't want to forget about primary schools. So most of our work, as you will gather, is in secondary schools and the Sixth Form College. But over the last couple of years, we've been wanting to support and resource and inspire people who work in primary schools. So inspiring the people that are inspiring young people in primary schools. And so we started doing some things around with helping people in primary schools, getting them together, sharing good ideas, possibly coming up with some resources that we could use around Colchester together. some amazing work going on in primary schools, and see why I don't need to be too involved in it, because there's already great people doing that, like Steve and others, wherever you look. So that's kind of a little bit of a an overview of what we do. I want to end with another passage from the life of... from the book of Matthew. And it says this: Jesus travelled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news about the kingdom. That's what we want to be, people who are announcing the good news of the kingdom by our words and by our deeds, by interacting with other people. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And I think if anything describes particularly young people today, confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, sums it up quite well. And we're seeking to bring some guidance, some help, some support to young people in schools in a way that serves schools and staff in the way that they're working. Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." I think like any missions organisation, we could do with more people, more resources, more money to help us do more of what I've just described. We know that schools want it. So would you pray with us that God would increase the people, the resources to make that happen? The doors are open, do you know? The doors are open wide for the right, for this kind of Christian involvement in schools, bringing life in all its fullness to young people. I've got our latest hot off the press newsletters at the back, so do pick up one of those if you like. Let's pray.